Well, welcome to A Course in Miracles. We are jumping back into studying another essential ego wall, another common barrier, I should say constant barrier, in hanging on to the ego perspective and trusting it that keeps you from your awakening. Part of the ego thought system that prevents you from accepting your true identity, that prevents your freedom, keeps you in fear, and that is defensiveness. Defensiveness. You know, where you have to protect yourself from the insult or from another. It's not so much defense of the body. The body at the body level. That's not what we're really talking about. That you would duck when a 2x4 comes, or if you hear gunshots in the bank, you don't go on the floor before they say get on the floor. Not what we're talking about. Or that you would take your medications, or you would eat good food to defend yourself from becoming sick with the body. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of defensiveness that keeps you up at night, years after the relationship is over. That mental punishing suffering. This is what we're talking about. Your pride. Your pride is injured, not your body. Body level ideas and thoughts and defensiveness are neutral. They are in the dream, of the dream, for the dream, by the dream. Nothing to do with you. But when you start to cross over into wanting happiness, that's a spiritual journey. If you just want safety, you just want security, you just want to live a long life, you don't need A Course in Miracles. But happiness might well evade you. Especially if you achieve all those things, it's actually easier to get a proximity of happiness when you're not secure, but you are getting secure, or when you're poor, but you have an opportunity to become wealthy. The ego plays really well with hope for a material return, as long as it's out of grasp, you see. The ego's dictum is seek and do not find, for a very good reason. We should go look at that. That's a nice thing for us tonight. We'll try to remember to do that, to go see where we catch the ego at its chasing game. Seek wealth, seek health, seek happiness, but do not find it. For many reasons, one of them is because of what you actually are. When you find something of value, you want to share it. That's not good for the ego plan, because you might get close to love. And your sharing might lead you to compassion, into joining, into the bigger picture, and the ego loses its power when you become honest and trusting and tolerant, kind. So seek and do not find is the ego's dictum. And you are vulnerable. You have something to lose. You can be hurt. But it's not the body we're talking about, right? You can be insulted, or you can be caught as maybe not smart enough, or maybe as too selfish, or as stingy, or as, I don't know, pick an ego attribute that you are afraid to be labeled, and that would not allow you to be happy, because you need to defend yourself in order to be happy against such an insult of your personality. Therefore, what you are here, you would have to be defensive, right? To defend your honor, defend your reputation, and more so that you can drink happiness again. Until you get that argument won, you will stay on edge, not allow yourself to be happy, and you will probably have a very difficult time in your relationships. So, it seems required in this world to be defensive, push back. So, it's a slippery slope, see? Because if you keep it at the world's level, it's not a problem at all. It's neutral. Hire a lawyer. Hire a lawyer, Kenny. Sometimes that's exactly what you need to do to manage in the world, but not out of hate or anger or fear. You hire a lawyer like you would buy the appropriate sledgehammer in order to knock something back in place. Not out of anger or fear, out of practicality. But that's keeping the levels correct. Level confusion, where we confuse things of the world as a source of our happiness. So, we'll try to touch on some of that tonight.
I think that's difficult to discern for me. You know, the first thing that came up for me when I saw, heard, I just joined, seek but do not find. Because I have sometimes thought, you know, that's what I'm doing with spirituality. And then the other thing that came to my mind was, you know, get a lawyer. So people get divorced and they get a lawyer. And I suppose that the Holy Spirit could guide that action where it would be pure and not hateful somehow. But I'm just imagining that idea. I don't see how the Holy Spirit would ask to solve anything and be happy, really happy, with a lawsuit. It doesn't seem, I'd rather be happy than write about this, but that is how I have thought.
Looks like Ross has got an answer for you. Go ahead, Ross.
Well, I'll tell you what's going on with me. 2 days ago, my boss's boss said that the site director, who's the top guy at the whole facility, wants to write me up. Okay. And it's because my coworker got, let's just say, affronted by a aggressive guy who wanted to date her. So I guess I should have done more to not, whatever. And so I'm having a hard time. Yeah. I mean, I didn't sleep last night and the night before and whatnot. So, yeah. But
so you've been threatened? You've been threatened?
I have been threatened. I was told that I was going to be written up.
for not standing up and being a better manager or coworker.
Coworker, yeah. I was told that. My boss's boss probably not should not have told me that, but he said that I was threatened with that. And so all I did was, my action was, I wrote what's called a Moran, it's a letter saying, hey, this is what's going on. This is saved. There's a date. If there's some retaliatory things coming at me, then, you know, I want it written. And I told my boss that I feel like this could be retaliatory against me. But, you know, in the scheme of things, I'm a Course in Miracles student. I'm all in. I need to try my best to maintain, you know, I'm going to get denied a promotion about this as well. Because my interview was last Friday, which they scheduled me on my vacation. I had to miss a day.
Wow.
Skiing. They knew damn well that I was on vacation. They did it in Utah. They scheduled me on an interview. And then they did it again in Colorado. But as a Course in Miracles student, it's my thinking. It's not what's happening in the world. I have to keep that in mind, even though I'm pissed off. I'm feeling attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, as Jesus would say, well, yeah, in the world, when they, you know, things put through my fingers and hooked me up and crucified me, wow, the world thinks that's terrible. Okay, are you going to think that way? Are you going to be a Course in Miracles student and say, doesn't matter, because it's in my mind, this whole world, the Ross character, it's all in my mind. It's hard as heck to keep that in perspective when all of this evidence is telling me they deliberately put me on interviews in Utah and Colorado 2 months in a row. They're telling me that they're going to write me up for stuff I didn't do. They're going to deny me a promotion. I'm going to find out about that tomorrow. They're going to tell me, oh, you didn't do your interview right. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
The site director that approves the promotion is the one that wants to write me up.
Uh-huh.
But is he going to prove it?
So it's a couple of great things to work with here. First is...
No, it's great, great tools, great lessons right here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing so good, I'll tell you right now.
It's fresh, it's happening right now. Your ego's involved in it enough. Your well-being is involved in it. It's very natural. You lost some sleep over it because you're like working the angles. You're doing a bunch of storytelling, perhaps, you know.
Yep.
Building up the scenarios of what maybe is happening and maybe what you're going to do about it. Basically, dreaming on top of dreaming.
Yep. You know, if they try to fight me, I'll just retire.
So you got a plan, but then that switches, right? You say you're retired now, but then an hour later you say, but wait, first I got to get this paid for, and then I'll retire. Or maybe I'll apply for,
I'll get another job. I was looking for a job when I got this one.
Okay, so first question is,
yeah,
are you going to ruin your own day?
I'm trying not to, but I'm losing sleep.
No, but it's a fair question. I know. I think it's quite natural. You know, living in bodies, we just need to remind each other as fellow students of this material.
Yes, I gotta be all in.
You gotta be all in. Yeah, love it.
Roll the book out and pee on it.
Right? You bet, Ross. You know it. This is a call. This is a call for a miracle. Yes. This is a call for peace. A call for peace looks like fear, looks like anger.
And I'm having a margarita right now, though.
It does say take the pill if you need the margarita. I mean the pill. But really, there's a matter of devotion that you are calling yourself out on. We heard it. We all heard it. You say, look, I'm all in.
Damn straight.
You're calling yourself to the mat on this.
Yep.
But then also, you know, lesson 193, all things are lessons God would have me learn, and I say forgiveness. But this is because from time to time, it's best to give you a pop quiz here and there, Holy Son of God. For your return home, it's basically the atonement is a matter of cleaning and filtering and letting go of things that are not important. And were you able to somehow access the Holy Spirit in whatever meetings or letters or conversations you're going to have with your employer? And you were to do this out of a sense of confidence and peace, the same thing's going to happen. If your ego's right, and they've just found a way to squeeze you out like water out of a sponge, and they're just going to wash you out. If that's the case, it's already going to happen. But there's also a possibility that employers and your stories and things, they aren't what you think they are.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to wait till see what happens.
Yeah, but don't miss this opportunity between now and tomorrow when you find out one of those elements. I got you, Don.
Yeah, it's going to play out for a while.
I know. Don't let it play out, though, without missing the opportunity to actually...
Forgiveness. Oh, yeah.
Just come into the present moment and discover whether or not you're going to ruin your next 5 minutes or not. And just bust your ego wide open, because you really do have some good stories there to work it. But you know, as a good Course in Miracles student, a lot of things aren't gonna ruffle your feathers, Ross. You're not gonna have a lot of opportunities like this. For some reason, this one's got you. Yeah, some reason. It's a good reason. But I'm just saying, you got a small window before you find out that things aren't as bad as you think, or they're done. To do some great meditations and just presence meditations.
Oh, I'll tell you what I wasn't wrong about and what I screwed up on. Well, maybe screwed up on. I thought my boss, my direct boss, he started March 1st. I thought he was in on it.
March 1st is like the other day.
Yeah.
So I don't think he even knows your name.
I hardly know his name, right?
I'm not sure he knows your name.
I don't know his middle name yet, exactly.
Don. What do you got? Save us here.
Well, so Ross, I'm going to tell you this as if, you know, I'm an expert. I'm not. But one of the things that occurs to me is, first of all, that the Holy Spirit exists in you and in all those other characters. The Holy Spirit does. And for a holy resolution, that's where a holy resolution will take place. And so, in all humility, what I would suggest, I'm on lesson 80, I guess it's 80, what, 86, 80 something, 68, okay? Love holds no grievances. And so I will just point you towards some of the readings that you could read that would cultivate your openness to Holy Spirit. And well, the first one is what the Course starts with. Nothing real. I have this all typed up for myself. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. And then, you know, you go on to...
I'm not a body.
No. You already know these things. I'm going to try to give you something that maybe you haven't thought of. Okay, I know I'm not trying to give you cliches. Because
God is sharing how he uses the Course.
I'm referring you to your Course, our Course. And so love holds no grievances. And when I did that today, and part of that is to sit and let your mind come up with grievances that you hold. Well, I mean, I went on and on and on. People kept coming to my mind and coming to my mind and coming to my mind. At one point, I fell asleep. You know, it just was wearying me such, and I came to mind, and I kept doing that. And I call that, I think that's about purification. And for miracles to occur, Jesus says purification must happen first. And so For a holy resolution and a holy meeting, a meeting with these people, that's where an outcome can happen that is a miracle, that doesn't, you know, that just lets people change their mind, like lets them join you. If you let your mind shift, let your mind at least be willing to have your mind shift. I'm not different than you. Okay. So I'm not like looking down, I'm saying if we let our mind change or be changed, really, in my case, then a new holiness can rise up, because it's right there. Holiness is not behind the ego's manipulations and machinations and all the stuff that's going on. And the way to have something loving happen is to jump in to love. And I don't think the ego wants that at all. And and I'll tell you a little story. This isn't any, I've had those kinds of dramatic things happen. On a daily basis, I face a reflection of what's in my mind with my partner, Michelle. You know, I tend to deny my being upset with all, I tend to deny my grievances with the world, you know, the things that are happening. She doesn't do that. She voices her grievances all the time. I mean, we can't sit down to have a meal without something about the world that's she has a grievance about. And then I realize, you know, the Course says I'm being presented with my mind, that this is in my mind. And it's true. I have those grievances too. I just don't talk about it because I know that, you know, intellectually that's not a good path to follow. But in fact, in my mind, they're there. Okay. So today, before the Zoom meetings, I want to get out and get some exercise. I ask her to walk with me. We're walking along, and that's what she starts talking about all this stuff. And I just found myself all wound up inside, and I couldn't talk myself out of it. You know, and it just was this really unhappy feeling. And I finally did, you know, without calculation, just say, God, help me here. I can't get myself happy. You know, I certainly can't change what she's talking about. And by my willingness to just say, okay, take it from here, we kept walking. Then all of a sudden I noticed that I was feeling calm. And I can't recall if she continued in her usual commitment to being unhappy about something or not, or judging and complaining or comparing. I don't remember, but all I know that shifted in my own mind. And my past experience is sometimes when my mind shifts like that, her mind shifts. Without me saying anything.
I just want to point out, Don, before you continue, you said, take this from me, and that is forgiveness.
Yeah.
The miracle is already in place. Like I know it is for Ross. He's got his miracles foundation pretty strong. But what's missing, if he's losing sleep or if he's upset, is the forgiveness part. Just like what you caught yourself walking with Michelle, and you found yourself disturbed, and you thought, wait a minute. I think I gotta let this go. Take this from me, you said. And that's forgiveness. That is the work. You see, miracles are sudden shifts in perception.
Yeah.
And for most of us here, a lot of the miracles that we would use for our peace, we've already had. We've already had the awakening, but we continue to stare and remember at sleep and about the nightmares. And worry, for example, or guilt, that somehow I won't be taken care of, and somehow this is bad. Somehow Michelle's anger is going to steal once again a peaceful walk. When, with forgiveness, you can let go of all of your past associations with the troubles that seem to be ahead of you. Everybody think about this. This is a quote from the book. How many times did you envision that you were right about something and just to be wrong once again.
Today.
And you knew the outcome, but it wasn't that at all.
And I just want to emphasize a part that maybe it's a very important part. And that is other people have a Holy Spirit in their mind. And it can join. If you let go of the Holy Spirit, and that affects the egos being consumed with ego, it will make room in their minds for them to come to Holy Spirit and have an outcome that serves the whole. You know, for example, you even said, gee, I was looking for another job anyway. But at this point, it seems like you still feel upset. Whereas Holy Spirit may lead everybody to that outcome, but you'll feel great about it. And so will they. And there'll be no upset in their own minds. They can give up that they might feel like they're attacking you or holding you.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. The challenge here, like it is with everybody with a difficulty in your life, is to not, you don't have to be specific about the particular problem. They all have something in common. They're taking your peace. Therefore, closing your spiritual eye. Therefore, blocking the Holy Spirit, as Don is explaining. You want to access your Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit thoughts you would think with God, to be a guiding light over the specifics that you're going to deal with anyway. You're going to deal with the little granule things anyway, whether it's medicine or bosses or letters or complaints or lawyers. But the message of A Course in Miracles is that if you choose peace first, if you call on the bigger picture, as I think Don was starting to point out, you know, you can access the Holy Spirit bias in the other person is what everybody wants: love. Everybody wants happiness. Everybody would prefer peace. Some people are so lost in anger or divisiveness that peace seems out of reach. Well, that's when Miracle Principle 8 comes in. You who temporarily have more, because you know peace is possible, bring it to those who temporarily have less. They're in the middle of the fight. But you've left the fight. You can leave the fight. This is your strength. This is your superpower now. And in our tonight's topic is defensiveness. This is where the ego says, you better fight back. This is where the ego says, I need some respect here. This is where the ego says, if I fix them, then I'll be happy. The ego's not trying to get the truth out there. It's trying to fix them, trying to change them, trying to hurt them. Much wiser. You get your truth out there, like I say, you're going to do it anyway. You will find a way. Much better to kind of do it from the the peaceful monk, Jesus, Dalai Lama approach. Still going to do it. The Shaolin monk. He knows how to fight like crazy, but it's the last thing he would possibly do. He gets his confidence knowing he doesn't have to fight. And the other guy couldn't defend himself if he did. He's just like, you know what? Let me work this the easy way.
Well, that's the message of the crucifixion. The message is, it didn't matter. Here's my best lesson I'm going to teach you.
Yeah.
The crucifixion did not matter. Am I saying it right?
I think crucifixion is the word you're after.
Yeah, that one.
Crucifixion, yeah.
I'm having trouble with words lately. Maybe I had a stroke or something. I don't know. I can't do words lately. But anyway, that's his lesson. What is he teaching us? Is that the most horrible lesson you could ever imagine is the one that you look at and say, no, you don't have to do that. But everything you're going through is the same. It doesn't
matter.
None of it matters.
And then he recognized, although he's got the crucifixion under his belt, he recognized that all along the day you crucify yourself equally over much lesser things.
Yes.
Same challenge, same story. Okay, what do you got, Luann? Here, let me get your mute. Hang on a second. Okay, go.
I've come to believe that when I ask the Holy Spirit for help for me to let go of whatever criticism for anything that I have in my mind, if I really mean it and stop criticizing and letting it go, if I really say it doesn't mean anything, that comes from me, and it may or may not affect another person in their minds. And it doesn't really matter whether it does or not. If I can bring myself to peace, that's all I really want in the first place.
Amen, sister. How's that feel when you actually take a moment to have that thought? This doesn't really matter. Oh.
It's like a release. It feels like freedom.
Freedom. A release. You know, your body responds. Is that right? You think the thought, but then within a few moments, you start to relax. Your breathing gets more regular. You recognize that. Everybody recognizes that, right? When you come to peace, yes, you do it with your mind, but your body soon follows because you're no longer sending it signals to be stressed.
It's kind of like saying, I don't have to solve this because all I want out of the whole thing is peace.
You've got your eyes on the true prize, Luann. And if you keep your eyes on it with vigilance, it is what you shall have.
Because what it allows me to do when I'm feeling peaceful, it allows me to love. And that's all I've ever said I ever want to do anyway.
And so the answer, if you want to love, the key is to love. The key is to go there now. Not wait for conditions to be right, but to actually go there now. And then find things unfolding while you're already in love and loving. Very good, Luann. That's it. Keep your eyes on the prize. What do you got, Jacqueline?
I was also thinking of crucifixion, and that there are times when I think about it, and there's so many aspects to it, and that what Jesus shares about it and what it demonstrates, but the defenselessness, I think of him, he was completely defenseless. He demonstrated complete defenselessness at all levels, including the body level, right? So I try to imagine, okay, what is that like, you know, when somebody feels like somebody's attacking me? What is it like to be, you know, completely defenseless, to totally be that way? So I don't know, sometimes that just brings a little bit of it prompts me in that direction.
It's a beautiful statement. It's true Course in Miracles teaching, lesson 135. If I defend myself, I'm attacked. Even if nobody is attacking me and coming at me, if I'm holding up my shield and getting ready and holding it tight, white knuckled, I'm attacked. Even though nobody's attacking, I have the posture and the thoughts and losing sleep over being attacked. And so I'm defending myself already, and nobody's, who knows if anybody's attacking me or how much. Very good. The idea of defense is already an internal attack. You're behaving as if you're being attacked. And so add that to whatever attack the world's going to put on you, if anything, and you got double attack. Good call. You bet.
You have to defend yourself. You're already in trouble.
You're already in trouble before you have to defend yourself from the outside. You're already in trouble on the inside. I took an Aikido class on this principle because it's a nonviolent self-defense. And the Aikido is you study the weight and the stature of the other person, and you learn as they move, you move with them to help them keep moving in the direction they went without you being there. And so they would go to strike you, and you're just not there to be hit. And you help them lose their center of balance, and they will topple over, giving you a chance to run off or strike if it's required. But the idea is that, first, do not resist. Do not resist. Assist. And you're also in other martial arts as well. They teach you, you've got to get out of panic. You need to be out of fear. If you're going to be prepared to duck and to properly behave in a confrontation. Fear is the last thing. It tightens you up. It slows you down. You're going to get hurt. So as I learned from a Bruce Lee movie, Bruce Lee was a beat up little kid, and he learned martial arts because he was just terrified. He was a small, scrawny little thing, and he was getting beat up a bunch. And he learned, once he learned, and he learned quickly and very well, he found a sense of peace walking around because he knew that he did no longer had to be injured. And that's what we're learning with A Course in Miracles, is that the real injury we're talking about is mental.
And we do it to ourselves.
We do it to ourselves through suffering. That's the real injury, because it can last for years. You know, you could regret losing a job 10 years ago, and you've had two jobs since then, but you still run over your ruminations in your mind about how bad it was, or was it a divorce, or was it some business, whatever. Suffering in your mind, this is the real fear. And same for little Bruce Lee. He had now every time he was outside walking to school, he was afraid, even though most of the times he never got clobbered. When he learned the martial arts, he learned he could choose peace, but he learned it was actually his mind. It was really his mind giving him permission to choose peace. Yes, he has some capacity, but you're getting capacity. You're getting a black belt in choosing peace and also discovering and abiding an identity that is not in your body. Don, what do you got?
So, what I recognize is that when I was offering what I thought were good teachings, which may have truth to them, as a matter of fact, they probably do, that what wasn't with my offering was, you might say, charity or humility. And I did want to, I thought it was very important that the conversation change into one, I still have it going, that honoring our oneness. Like right here on the Zoom call, there seems to be six people. And all of us have individual minds, our own little, all of us have a portion of the ego thought system. And in order for us to be what we really want is to practice coming into oneness. What we really want, I think, is to practice letting go of our attachment to our idiosyncratic ego point of view so that we can join in the sense of peace and have that experience. And I wasn't allowing that in my way of imposing my spiritual knowledge.
Well, you sure, you know, Don, I get you what you're saying, but you know, we know you now. It's kind of hard for you to say the wrong thing. It just like I hope it is for me to say something just completely wrong and you all just hang up and go away. You're like, that's not what he really, I know what Andrew stands for, A Course in Miracles. And we know about Luann and Tim and Kenny and Ross. You know, if Ross is going through a bad day because he's got something up, we know Ross now. We've spent some time with Ross, and we know his foundation. I know Ross has a miracle foundation, a miracle-minded foundation. I know you, Don, have a miracle-minded foundation. So I listen between the words sometimes.
Yep. Yeah. So I guess I just wanted to offer up that, you know, both my yearning and my self-defeating habits show up for me right here. And I don't want to be right about even, I don't know. I just wanted to point the whole conversation that Ross introduced towards solution through actually the willingness to let it be healed. I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. And so I don't really know what Ross needs, but I would like to join. I'd like to have a peaceful feeling for myself. And yeah, while it is all about, I want peace for myself, I believe and I've experienced that true peace that comes to me, not through some ego manipulation of myself, but through a truly stepping back and turning over, does affect other people.
Thank you, Don. And you know,
not,
and we're
not to get them to behave the way I want.
That's right. And we're joining in the higher thoughts that you're bringing out.
Andrew, why do you keep cutting me off?
Well, because you're going on a bit long, more than usual.
I don't feel like I'm going on long.
I mean, it's my job. I mean, I let you go for a while, but then at some point, I got to keep it back to, because I got to cover a topic of defensiveness. And if you're on that topic, you know, you're going to let you roll. But
that's what I'm on.
Yeah. But it's going too long for me, and I got to run the meeting. Yeah, I love you, Don. I think you are an asset to this meeting. But if anybody here goes on too long, I got to cut them off.
I haven't witnessed that very often.
No, it's I don't have to do it very often. Yeah. Okay, Ross, what do you got? Please forgive me, Don. I'm just trying to do my job.
I'm trying to do my job too, right now.
Thank you.
Well, I think what I'm struggling with is the fear of the unknown and which is turning into anxiety. You know, that's what I'm struggling with. It's not that I don't have all the course toolkits. Maybe I'm missing one. Maybe I'm missing one of letting go and letting the universal inspiration guide me. Maybe I don't trust it enough because I want to know what's going to happen. And I'm feeling anxious about what's going to happen because it hasn't happened yet. But I know tomorrow there's going to be another story to this, and it's not going to be pleasant.
Naturally. That's why I really wanted you to take advantage of these next hours you have before that next foot drops, to be able to make some of the choices. There seem like fighting with the, you know, fighting words for the ego to be so peaceful or confident. But by God, there with the Holy Spirit is calling you to discover the power of your mind. And so you have this opportunity right now, before something happens, before this thing happens, to recognize one of the things that we learn, one of the crazy things that we learn in this book, and that is this. The ego says you have a fear of the unknown.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit says, Course in Miracles says, no, you have a fear of the known. You think you know something bad is coming. You think you know it. If you really didn't know.
I don't know.
You really don't know.
I don't know.
If you really did it. Now, Ross, catch yourself, because your ego's giving you the feelings of knowing trouble's coming. So you're in defensive mode. If you really didn't know, if you admit that you really don't know, you'd have to go to peace. But that might take a meditation. That's why I say there's a big opportunity here to just get honest.
So I really don't know if there's a crucifix ready with, you know, thorns and around the head and one. I really don't know. I think probably there is.
I'll tell you something else you don't know.
I'm probably wrong.
Probably, right? How many times you've been wrong?
Today.
Just today?
Today. Just today.
Well, even Jesus on the cross, he didn't experience the crucifixion like all of us who witnessed it did. And so whatever happens, maybe perceived as crucifixion, doesn't have to be experienced that way.
Now, this is a second level. What Don said is right, and it's immediate. And that's what I'm really talking about. But I want to lay on it another level of discovery about our lives. So everybody here has lived long enough to been through difficulties, lots of them. Are there difficulties, even many, if not all, in your life, that once you got through them, you did find a growth or an empowerment or a truth that arrived after that all burned down, fell down, broke down, fell apart, left? And you're like, wow, I wouldn't want to do it again, but I'm not taking it back.
Absolutely.
So yeah. You really don't know, Ross. You really don't know your own best interest. Just get honest. That's why he got only a couple hours left to go, because when the news comes, no matter which way it goes, this will be passed, and you'll be skipping down the path again. But right now you got an opportunity, because you got a chance to dismiss your ego's leverage. And it'd be, and I don't know is the challenge right now. It is for all of us throughout our lives. You know, Ross is standing up so that we can talk about it. We've all been there with jobs and bosses. I don't know. Turn to page. You want to go, you want to see a beautiful encompassment, beautiful circle, the big circle in the Course in Miracles around these three, four words, I do not know. Turn to page 660. Just one of the spots. Maybe we'll look at two or three of them tonight because we got Ross willing to let us work this. So this is your participation, and then you will live your thoughts. You will live your thoughts. Do you see the circle already? You will live your thoughts. Yes, of course you will. Jacqueline, would you read for us all the entirety of paragraph 17 on the top of page 660, chapter 31, section 5, last paragraph? Does anybody here need chapter and verse, or you all have books?
Yeah.
We all have books? I'm talking to you, Tim. All right. Okay, Jacqueline, go for it.
The world can teach no images of you unless you want to learn them. There will come a time when images have all gone by and you will see you know not what you are. It is to this unsealed and open mind that truth returns, unhindered and unbound. Where concepts of self have been laid by, is truth revealed exactly as it is. When every concept has been raised to doubt and question and been recognized as made on no assumptions that would stand the light, then is the truth left free to enter in its sanctuary, clean and free of guilt.
And Jacqueline, would
There's
you just
no
read
statement
that?
That the world is more afraid to...
Hold on, Jacqueline. Would you recapture, yeah. just for emphasis now, recapture and reread... You did it perfectly, but why don't you do it again for emphasis? Sentence number 5.
Okay. When every concept has been raised to doubt and question and been recognized as made on no assumptions that would stand the light, then is the truth left free to enter in its sanctuary, clean and free of guilt. There is no statement that the world is more afraid to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or myself. Yet in this learning is salvation born, and what you are will tell you of itself.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Okay, Ross, hit us.
So you hear where it says there is no statement that the world is more afraid to hear? Hi, that's me.
Yep.
I'm afraid.
Yes.
To know that I do not know what I am. There, what? That's me. Hello.
What I am, what my job is, where I'm going, where... What's going to be up tomorrow?
And that, and the world includes that Ross character, right?
Oh, well, Don, not that we're going to go here necessarily, but since Don brought it up, let's see what Jesus talks about in the very next sentence. to see that this teaching on this page goes, it's, remember I told you that there's multiple levels of teaching in A Course in Miracles in any given paragraph? Well, this gives you an example of how far-reaching he's going in this chapter. Don, look at the very next sentence following in the next section. And just read that for us.
In the next section?
Yeah, recognizing the spirit, it's called.
You see the flesh, or you recognize the spirit. There's no compromise between the two. You want me to read more?
I mean, that's the message.
If one is real, the other must be false. What is real denies its opposite. There is no choice in vision but this one. What you decide in this determines all you see and think is real and hold as true.
And feeling your gut.
But this one choice does all your world depend. For here have you established what you are as flesh or spirit in your belief. Just in your belief. If you choose flesh, you never will escape the body as your own reality, for you have chosen that you want it so. But choose the spirit, and all heaven bends to touch your eyes and bless your holy sight, that you may see the world of flesh no more, except to heal and comfort and to bless.
Even as you keep your same job, or as you move on to the next job, or you deal with whatever problems coming in your life, you can be available to heal and to bless yourself and others. Flesh or spirit? And it says appear in that paragraph because the book knows that you're absolutely spirit.
Well, after the italics, it says, in this learning is salvation born. So you just have to be able to accept that, yes, in that italic paragraph is where salvation is born.
Born.
It is another matter, though.
And Ross, the next sentence, and what you are will tell you of itself. Capital what? And capital I. That's what's waiting for us when we let go of our fixed idea of what is going on.
Yeah, I know that. It's just a matter of actually doing it.
Well, that's it. That's why I like these next couple hours you've got here, Ross, is a chance to be reborn. It's hard. It's hard when it counts.
It's hard. Accept it.
It's really hard when it counts. It's really easy when it doesn't. You know, when you're on the cushion and you're in the meditation hall, you can do all sorts of huge world-reaching thoughts. But when you're in Ross's shoes right now,
when the fan is hitting you with the straw,
when you're headed for the fan,
that's when you need that's when you know if you're really getting it.
So, Ross, I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you as I would for my capital S self. In your salvation, hey, if you can save yourself here, you're going to save all of us.
Lead the way.
So all six of us here, six of us, nine of us. We're all going to be with you even more often and more be aware of being with you all night long. So if you wake up, just know that, you know, we're in companionship with you.
I can laugh at myself and realize how ridiculous I am.
Ross, this is a difficult situation, and we want you to go first. Do you mind?
Go first in what?
Right into this difficulty you're having. And then this difficulty in life about you're losing your job or keeping your job or dealing with your boss. We're right behind you, but we're behind you.
It's like when I was in the Army and I was practicing to be a lieutenant.
Anybody got a job for me?
Yeah. When I was in the Army, I practiced being a lieutenant and going to Vietnam. And Vietnam and lieutenants in Vietnam were cannon fodder. And The patch on my arm said, like everybody else's, follow me. But the patch is on your arm, but not for the physical war, the spiritual one.
Last week, 2 weeks ago, we were doing a section called A Branch in the Road. Ross, you are standing at that branch in the road. You can continue going the direction your ego has brought you where you lost some sleep, or you can say, you know what? I'm going for this peace thing. I'm going for this empowerment. I call it, you got the call. You're hearing the call. Okay, Luann, what do you got? Oops, hang on a second. I'll get your mute. Okay, go ahead.
The part of all of this that meant the most to me was the last half of line 8 on the first paragraph of Recognizing Spirit. It doesn't say that we will not have flesh. It says, but we may, from a place of spirit, we may see the world of flesh no more except to heal and comfort and to bless. And that means for me that I will still have a purpose as a spirit. I won't be just floating around up there doing nothing.
Oh, no, you do not. You do not go purposeless. You are already an extension of God, and you fully have a permanent purpose. No worries there. XL, what do you got? I got your mute. Oh, you got to unmute yourself.
Here we go. I just screwed this up. I was looking at the review lessons, and for lesson 57, it encompasses lessons 31 through 35. I am not the victim of the world I see. I have invented the world I see. There is another way of looking at the world. I could see peace instead of this, and my mind is part of God's. I am very holy. And I've been putting that on Ross's words and putting them to a situation that I experienced today. And my mind's all jumbled. But then there's a wonderful lesson. I do not know what anything is for. So I don't have a clue. Not a clue. Does Ross know what's going on?
I do not know. No. Ross is starting to accept, perhaps, the call for salvation. The beginning of salvation comes with these words. I do not know. I don't know what, XL, you look at your situation today. As you look back across your entire life and know that the difficult things that you were going through when you were 20, when you were 30, when you were 40, the difficult things that had come up, you didn't know what they were for. You didn't know what you were for. You didn't know why you were there. And anything that comes up to you, for you to know all the implications of what's going on with your problem, and whether or not Ross should or should not keep that job, this is a huge judgment that's much better left to the bigger picture. Go to the peace and the strength of I do not know what anything is for. Therefore, I don't know what I am doing. I don't even know where I am. I love that one. If you're ready for it, you can take those words literally and get into a meditation about where you can possibly be, or how to look upon the world or on myself. Kind of open your mind, loosen your grip. And then if you do, the idea of salvation, that you are not your body, you don't know it all, your ego's not the advisor you thought. Now you can hear the Holy Spirit. You couldn't before. You were too preoccupied with past thoughts. Too preoccupied with past fearful thoughts, trying to project it into the future. Ross and then Tim.
So as you said, though, there's certain practical things, I think I'm paraphrasing, but there are certain practical things that we need to do so that the dream doesn't become into a nightmare. In other words, you get the lawyer, I thought I had a toothache, so I went to the dentist. You know, I went to the dentist and the dentist said, no, it's not a toothache. You don't need a root canal. You got TMJ because you're stressed out. You didn't get enough sleep. So you do these practical things, but then you let them go. I wrote the letter that says, that has a date stamp on it that says, hey, something squirrely here. So I wrote the letter. I didn't send it to anybody. I just wrote it and it has a time stamp on it. So that's there. Now I can let it go.
That's like taking the pill.
But being stupid about it in terms of practicality, Ken Wapnick would say, don't do stuff that's not practical. Do not let your doors be unlocked because, oh, the Holy Spirit will take. No, you lock your doors. Come on. Really? Be practical. That's all I would like to say about being practical. Then you let it go after you lock your door.
Well, that certainly, that's taking the pill. And you've got to write that letter to get your thoughts down and put a date on it. And you can say, okay, at least I've taken care of myself. I've got my facts in writing, and I don't have to think about them all the time because I wrote them down perfectly. I went and saw the dentist. And he said, oh, here we go. Or the chiropractor. Ooh, pain's gone. Boy, I'm glad I didn't wait 3 more days with that pain.
Yeah.
Magic. Practical, right?
It's magic.
It is, but it is something that you would do if you find yourself completely preoccupied without writing a letter. You write the letter. Take the pill. There is yet an even more a better way. It's covered in chapter 16. It's the most, one of the most practical what to do, how to manage your mind sections in the entire book. It's called Setting the Goal. In chapter 16, you remember it now. And what that section says is before you do anything, set the goal of what is this for? Before you have the conversation, before you write the letter, before you do anything, if you can, you set the goal of peace, go to peace, be still an instant, find yourself at home in God, and then go back to work in the world in your busy doings with peace as your guide, because you set the goal first, you go there. You see? If you actually choose peace as my goal, no matter what happens, you can go to peace now. And then you do whatever it is you're going to have to do.
Without falling into magic thinking, you know.
Where's the reference in 16, in chapter 16?
Oh, yeah, page 365. It's a, we may as well go look at that. It's just so practical for Ross right now. And it's what I'm asking him to do. I'm asking Ross to buckle down on using the power of his mind that he's well trained in. So
chapter
if you go
17.
Oh, is it 17? Oh my God, it is. It is chapter 17. Page 365, session 6, called Setting the Goal. Let's look at paragraphs 2, 3, 4, and 5. I mean, the whole section is good, right? It's only 7 paragraphs, but it's wonderful. It's so darn practical. Luann, would you read for us paragraph 2 on page 366?
In any situation in which you are uncertain, the first thing to consider, very simply is, what do I want to come of this? What is it for? The clarification of the goal belongs at the beginning, for it is this which will determine the outcome. In the ego's procedure, this is reversed. The situation becomes a determiner of the outcome, which can be anything. The reason for this disorganized approach is evident. The ego does not know what it wants to come of the situation. It is aware of what it does not want, but only that. It has no positive goal at all.
So Jesus is now becoming your life coach, everybody? Telling you how to deal with your whatever's coming up? He's your life coach. He's saying, set the goal ahead of time. If you don't, you'll have whatever outcome the ego comes up with, and it could be anything. But as Luann was telling us earlier, she just wants love. She just wants peace. Ross just wants peace and strength of mind and certainty and to try to be a vessel toward more understanding and holiness, if possible. It's all he's after is the real certainty, the real comfort. So set that goal ahead of time. May as well. If your devotion is correct and the branch in the road, you're going to take the course that says, I'm going to go with holy perspective instead of unholy perspective, then you may as well start feeling it now.
It's funny, I got a promotion at Lockheed one time in which I had no support from my superior. And then she got mad at me for something went wrong because I couldn't get this person to do a good job that was under me. And that led to me wanting to quit Lockheed. And that led to me to being here tonight. After that, I became a psychologist. And then after that, I came here. And it's like, I'm so glad that I got that promotion because it made me want to quit Lockheed.
Didn't see that coming.
I didn't at the time, but I do when I look back on it, I say, thank God.
Kenny, are you reading tonight?
Pardon?
I'm asking Kenny if he wants to read tonight. Got new glasses. Are you in?
No.
Okay. No. All right. XL, would you read for us paragraph 3?
Without a clear-cut positive goal set at the outset, the situation just seems to happen and makes no sense until it has already happened.
Has anybody lived that sentence out maybe your whole life? XL, would you read it again? Because this is your life coach, Jesus, telling you how to manage your life and pointing out how you've been working it. Go ahead, XL. Read that again.
Okay. Without a clear-cut positive goal set at the outset, the situation just seems to happen and makes no sense until it has already happened.
What a random way to live your life.
Then,
is that how you're living your life? Oh, my God. Please continue.
Then you look back at it and try to piece together what it must have meant.
That could take years. What did it mean? Oh, my God. Please continue.
And you will be wrong. Not only is your judgment in the past, but you have no idea what should happen. No goal was set with which to bring the means in line. And now the only judgment left to make is whether or not the ego likes it. Is it acceptable, or does it call for vengeance?
So we're going to wait for the ego to make the determination on what happens tomorrow in Ross's day? Really? It's got to be a better way. Please continue.
The absence of a criterion for outcome set in advance makes understanding doubtful and evaluation impossible.
Ego busted. What do you got, Ross?
All right. Well, so I know the goal. My two favorite coworkers, my two bosses, retired. March 1st. I want to retire. It's just a matter of when.
Okay.
I do have a goal.
Okay.
It's just a matter of when I'm going to, when it's right. So, okay. I'm not just...
Okay, that statement.
I do have a goal. I do have a goal.
That statement, I want to retire, is a pill. It is not salvation. You want to retire because you want to be happier. You don't retire because you want to be free. You want to retire
because I'm going to be 60 years old and my two other workers did the same thing. It seems like it's the right time. About, just about, not quite. Say more. I'll listen for teachings.
The short-term goal is you want to retire, or you want a paycheck, or you want retire, whatever it is. The long-term goal is peace of mind, and that is worth more than the money, even the health and the wealth, and it's peace of mind. The older we get, don't we recognize that a good night's sleep is worth more than we thought?
Yes.
The older we get, don't we recognize that being patient with others is worth more than we thought? The older we get, don't we recognize that the ability to listen and to not attack is like a superpower you couldn't afford when you were a young hothead? But now people don't mind being around you now.
Perhaps.
Peace of mind. This is your superpower you get with A Course in Miracles. This is what the situation is for. Not for retirement, not for money, not for showing up your coworkers because you got the blessing of age that allows for a government-sponsored retirement. Neener. No. Peace of mind. I mean, Ross, if you retire, I want you to have peace of mind in your retirement. I don't care what else comes with it. I know the power of peace of mind, and this is what I hope and pray and wish for you. Because that's golden. That's empowerment for happiness and allows you to be of the fertile mind to love. We do not love in fear. We do not love in spite. We don't love in anger. We don't love in guilt. We love when we're in peace. Set the goal now. It's the same goal, but it has to be set each time you're challenged, because you've obviously lost the horizon. It's peace of mind.
Take it up the ladder from the specific, from the worldly aspect of it, up to the highest part of the ladder, the rungs of the ladder, where it's the real world, where it's talking about peace of mind, where it's talking about forgiveness, where it's talking about atonement.
Always. You're back. That's the Ross I know. That's what matters. That's your self-empowerment that matters.
It may still look like retirement.
It may.
But there's the anxiety is I don't know what the next move is.
If you're anxious, you do know it's going to be bad or going to be unsettling. You think you know something. Bust your ego here. If you really didn't know, you just have to wait it out. But the ego says, no. Unless I know exactly what's going to happen with exactly who and what and how much, I can't rest.
Yeah.
Why not? Because it might be bad.
Yes.
It might not be enough. Oh, so therefore, the ego knows that there's pain until it has all the answers. That is not free, my friend. Not trusting.
No.
The truth is you don't know, but so that kind of makes it easy. We don't have to make anything up here. You don't know.
No, I don't know.
You admit it, though, right to the core. And then go to peace. And then set the goal. I'll set the goal now, right here on this page. Set the goal of peace and happiness. No matter what happens, you're going to continue.
But I have moments, and then I waffle.
Yeah. Yeah, you bet. Naturally.
Let it go, and then I go, no, wait, I'm anxious.
Like any good addict. You're an addict. You're an ego addict, egomaniac, like the rest of us. And you're putting the drug down, but right now you're reaching for it. Like we would, like anybody would. You're reaching for your drug when times are tough. But buddy, this is a time when salvation comes. This is a branch in the road. This is a chance to find your inner strength and get the payoff now. Not because now. It happens now. Who knows what will happen with your job? Who cares? You don't know. But boy, it would be nice to be peaceful through it all.
Oh, yeah, it sure would be.
Thank you. That's all I'm looking for. What do you got, Don?
Well, when you said that, it's now means even right now.
Wow.
Okay, so I recognized a little while ago when you said, is anybody playing this out in their life? You know, that about one of the things that was said. And I'm looking at this statement, the clarification of the goal belongs at the beginning, for it is this which will determine the outcome. That's practically should be at the beginning of every, before I have a thought.
Amen, brother.
And before I open my mouth.
Amen.
And so as I contemplated sharing, you know, and I was thinking back to earlier when I had was pontificating, you know, I hadn't really set the goal. And so as a result, I found my heart ache. And it didn't matter the quote-unquote truth of what I had to offer. What it had to do with was, what was it for? And apparently it was for my ego. And I want, and I just want to put out there, you know, what I want is, I want the peace of God. I just want the peace of God. And,
when do you want the peace of God?
Now.
Now.
And,
now.
Yeah, I recognize that the ego has a different plan. And it is, and I have to acknowledge, to be honest, I still have unconsciousness that ascribes to that plan, and that feeds my awareness all the time, and my lack of it just feeds my what's going on, whether I'm aware of the thoughts or the feelings, or acknowledge them or not.
Oh, Don, that's the perfect words for the next paragraph. Feeds. Oh. What are you feeding the ego? Are you feeding the choice for spirit? You're at the branch of the road. Are you going to feed your previous thoughts and make you go right the direction into hell and lose a second night's sleep? Or are you going to feed the ideas we're talking about tonight, which an off-ramp says right on the big sign, I do not know. Therefore, I think I'm going to chill until I do know. But what I do, what do I know? I know I want peace. I want certainty. I want comfort. And I want to have the big picture instead of my ego's little lie that it knows things are always going to be bad. Previous paragraph, the ego only knows what it does not want, has no positive goal at all. Next paragraph we just read, set a positive goal. This is not ego thinking. This is Holy Spirit thinking, thoughts you would think with God are all positive because, quote from the book, God gives, comma, and only gives. Therefore, you should give and only give happiness to yourself, optimism to yourself. You will live your thoughts. You're going to live your thoughts. If you're afraid, you're going to live afraid. But if you're confident that you will choose peace and love, every chance you get to be helpful and truly helpful, then that's exactly what you will do, and you can do it now. You don't have to wait for the opportunity. You can do it now. There's one more wonderful paragraph that your life coach, Jesus, has to weigh in on. Tim, would you read for us? I don't think we ever called on you, by the way, when you had your hand up, but you come back if you want. Please read for us paragraph 4 on page 366. This is your life coach talking.
The value of deciding in advance what you want to happen is simply that you will perceive the situation as a means to make it happen.
Wow. Teach us that sentence, Tim.
The goal belongs at the beginning, is what my coach, Jesus, is telling me. And because of my father and my existence as a child of my father, God creates, therefore I also create. That's my essence. Right? And so my thoughts are tremendously powerful.
Powerful.
The thoughts I hold in my mind, in my awareness, are how I will see this world that I believe surrounds me. It's the filter that will allow certain things through and exclude others.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Beautiful. And those thoughts have the power to make the positive happen.
So I want to be very careful with what I allow to be my thoughts.
Well said.
To the ability of my, you know, to the extent of my ability to control that.
Which yes. is,
with practice, perfect.
Beautiful. Yes. Please continue.
You will therefore make every effort to overlook what interferes with the accomplishment of your objective and concentrate on everything that helps you meet it.
Just like you said, please continue.
It is quite noticeable that this approach has brought you closer to the Holy Spirit's sorting out of truth and falsity. The true becomes what can be used to meet the goal. The false becomes useless. I'm sorry, let me reread four. The true becomes what can be used to meet the goal. The false becomes the useless from this point of view. The situation now has meaning, but only because the goal has made it meaningful.
So the situation now has meaning. Going to see the doctor, waiting for the letter from the IRS, waiting for the next conversation with your loved one, now has meaning. But, the word but is there, remember? Record scratch, here comes the real message. But, only because the goal has made it meaningful. This next interaction that I'm going to have in the world is meaningful. Because I will use it for peace and for the empowerment of myself to live a peaceful, helpful life that will go from there toward love, which I can't afford when I'm afraid. That's what it's for.
My role is only to want it.
Clearly. Yes. That's why I say that.
That's all the power in the universe, quite yes. literally.
That's why I say the previous section is so genius that we read, the branching in the road. You have to want it. Somehow, some way, you have to want the power that peace brings. And then when you get to a difficulty in your life, like where Ross is, and you recognize, I'm jumbled, you're at a fork in the road. And now it's
That was powerful to read. I appreciate your giving it to me.
Thank you. And you did a great job, too. Oh, it's really great. I guess since we've come this far, we may as well pick up the next juicy paragraph. Ross, would you read for us paragraph 5 on 366? I got your mute.
The goal of truth has further practical advantages.
Practical. That's why I say this is like your life coach saying, here's how you do it, folks.
If the situation is used for truth and sanity, its outcome must be peace. And this is quite apparent, quite apart from what the outcome is. Peace is the condition of truth and sanity. And cannot be without them. Where peace is, they must be. Truth comes of itself. If you experience peace, it is because the truth has come to you, and you will see the outcome truly, for deception cannot prevail against you. You will recognize the outcome because you are at peace. Here again, you see the opposite of the ego's way of looking. for the ego believes the situation brings the experience. The Holy Spirit knows that the situation is as the goal determines it and is experienced according to the goal.
And is experienced according to the goal. Thank you, thank you. Well, we've run to the end of our session here. Don, did you want to close the meeting? Do you have something to say?
Well, what was going on in my mind was, so I have the goal of peace. And when I, you know, state that or have that intention, and then what I experience in the midst of what appears on the screen and how I feel about it, I experience something other than peace. My choice would be to ask to be guided back to peace, like to not be discouraged that here we go again, you know, I say I want peace and I don't feel peaceful and what a screwed up mess I am, but rather to just not judge the appearance or my feeling about it and then ask for the peace of God and then let that, like this afternoon when I did that on the walk, and it's there. For me, that takes, it's like, it's not just a fork on the road that's big. It's like every moment is a fork in the road.
Yes.
Beautiful. Every moment is a fork in the road.
Beautiful, Don.
And so even right now, I'm at a fork in the road. Right now, as I'm communicating, and I ask Holy Spirit to take this from me. Look upon it.
And you'll live your choice.
And let, as our mutual friend Brian's always says, ask the Holy Spirit to decide for God for me. You know? And so that's what I'm doing.
Right now. Then you'll live that thought. You will live that choice. And it will teach you of itself. It was the right choice. In your case, Ross, in your own vernacular, take this opportunity to go up one step on the ladder. Just do it. Go up one step. Say the hell.
Without judgment.
Eagerly. Take one step up the ladder. In trust, in love. In certainty that all things are for your good. And the Holy Spirit is there to reinforce that no matter what happens in this body dream. It's all in the hands of the Holy Spirit now for your good.
Yeah, I think you got it down until the fan starts blowing stuff at you. Then you go, wait a minute, I'm not doing so good.
Yep.
Things are going right. It's easy to be a course student.
Yeah.
I've heard a teacher say that if you aren't experiencing crap, then you don't have an opportunity to practice. You know, it's like everything's going sweet and everything, you know, the ego and the world are agreeing. Great. But when things go wrong, then you get a chance to deepen. I get a chance to deepen my love by moving away from a very unloving ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The Course and also says.
Ross sounds more peaceful to me now after with all of this. Do you feel that way, Ross? A little bit more peaceful?
Let's see. At 9:02.
Or is it that quart-sized vodka you just drank?
check with me at 9:10 when I start, you know, thinking again.
Yeah, but you know, you're you're going to take when we stop this Zoom call in about 30 seconds. Maybe you're going to take it, take this chance to step back and set the goal, the big goal now, not the goal for your job, not the goal for whatever happens tomorrow, the big goal, and then don't let it go and ride it right through. You'll have better communication. You'll be a better martial artist, you know, from peace. You will make better moves. You will make better decisions.
Oh, better and better as the years go on, yes.
Yeah, but from peace and not from anxiety or worry. It's just, it is empowering. It's true. Peace is the fertile ground of your ability to be helpful and to be helped.
Well, don't forget forgiveness.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that if you have peace and you are helping and being helped, that is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. It starts with choosing peace, and then it takes care of itself from there. It's kind of automatic once you get on that train.
Set peace train.
The peace train. Peace train sounding louder, high on the peace train. Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you for studying Course in Miracles with me.